us a little bit about your background and education?
Sure, yeah. So I am an integrative pharmacist. And so conventionally trained pharmacist, did my undergraduate degree, then went to pharmacy school. After that, was very interested in integrative medicine, but there was not a residency program already set out for pharmacists to do that. So my mentor and I created the first ever and still only postdoctoral residency program. So a training program for pharmacists interested in pursuing integrative medicine. So did that. And then after that, did a postdoctoral fellowship in the pharmaceutical industry, really focusing on how we can bridge innovation with integrative medicine and alternative healing therapies. And then have since had the pleasure of working with different companies to either leverage clinical research, conduct clinical research, or, think about what products are out there and how they can really benefit patients and their quality of life.
And what makes the postdoctoral or the postdoctorate program? I believe you did that program, correct?
Yeah, so I did a postdoctoral residency followed by a postdoctoral fellowship as well.
All right. And what makes that so special? Because not many people get those, right?
Yeah, exactly. So what makes it special is that, if people are looking to specialize and do something a little bit more either unique or different, that's really the best way to do that is to get that additional training. So the postdoctoral residency was focused on integrative medicine. So thinking about what are the other modalities out there apart from prescription medications that can help patients. So this could be herbal therapies, this could be supplements, it could be nutritional interventions, it could be movement, thinking about sleep, all of those different things together, and thinking about it again from this whole person perspective. So that's what I did in my residency. And then my fellowship was more specific to, innovation and thinking about what devices are out there, what technologies are out there that can really, bridge with some of these integrative modalities.
And speaking of supplements, can we break down what GLP-1 is?
Yes. So GLP-1 is actually an acronym and it stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. And it's a hormone that plays a crucial role in glucose metabolism and appetite regulation in the body. So it actually is a hormone that we naturally produce. But GLP-1, these new class of medications, they actually have become really, really popular, because people are using them to suppress their appetite and see if they can lose some weight quickly.
And what are some of the doses that you recommend that people normally get with with those types of weight loss drugs?
Yeah,
0.25, 0.5?
so the doses actually should be more personalized. And so some people, so initially when you're put on the medication, it's a lower dose, and then you generally what it's called titrate, but you generally increase the dose slowly. And this is why it's so important that when you are put on these medications, you are consulting with a healthcare provider so they can help determine which is the right dose for you, and also, which medication is right for you. Because in the GLP-1 category, there are multiple medications. It's not just Ozempic and Wegovy. There's also Mounjaro, and there's so many different kinds. And also, not all of them are injectable. Some of them are injectable, some are oral now. So they're thinking of all these new types of ways that patients can take it.
And a lot of these weight loss phenomenons or GLP-1s, they can be pricey, right? They can be between $25 to even like $1,000 per month, depending on your dosages. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think that's a huge barrier to entry for a lot of patients that really could use it. And so, yeah, GLP-1s, it depends on where you get it, whether it's branded or unbranded, that plays a role definitely. And sometimes it's not covered by insurance, because as a prescription medication, sometimes these drugs can be covered by insurance. The thing is, it will only be likely covered by insurance if the patient fits into the categories for which the drug has been FDA approved. So the drug has been FDA approved specifically if you have a BMI or body mass index of 27 plus another condition like heart disease or something like that. Or it's FDA approved if you have a body mass index of 30. So this is pretty much indicating if you're either medically overweight or obese. But the issue is there's so much off-label use. There's so many people taking these medications, but they don't fit either of those descriptions. They're not medically overweight. They're not obese. They're just looking to maybe drop down 1 to 2 dress sizes when they maybe should be considering other methods, whether that's supplements or nutrition, instead of thinking about, okay, let me just take this quick drug. So in short, I do think that this drug can be great, or this class of drugs rather, could be great for the right patient. It's just too many people, in my opinion, are taking them who don't fit the correct patient profile.
So can you elaborate on, or just specify some of the pros and cons of, like, just say a drug like Ozempic?
Yes, definitely. So when people take these GLP-1 weight loss drugs, what they're oftentimes not, you know, well-versed in, just simply because their healthcare provider might not be telling them yet, is some of the side effects or some of the issues that come with it. The first one is, you know, some of the potential stomach issues. So nausea, vomiting, constipation, and potentially issues with the stomach not emptying properly. The next one is accelerated muscle loss. So when people are losing weight, they're not just losing fat, they're also losing muscle. And a lot of the recent research indicates that, you know, when we lose muscle, we're actually impeding on our quality of life and longevity. So that's super important. And then the other one is the mental health side effects. So if people are taking these medications, it's like if you're, you know, if your body is changing, that's also going to change so much about your mental health.
And I noticed that you have a certification with plant-based diets or from Cornell, correct?
Yes, I do, from plant-based nutrition. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. I'm a big red bear too. But I was going to ask you. I know that you also dabble in the cannabis world, and mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, can you tell me how you, I guess, what's your relationship to the whole cannabis ecosystem? And how you get,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've had the pleasure to work in the cannabis industry for many years, and mainly as an advisor to brands, especially brands that are thinking about leveraging some of their products to, you know, work with healthcare providers so that they can use their products to help patients in different, you know, disease states or conditions or symptoms for that matter. I've had a great time working with various companies there, because I think that what I'm really drawn to are companies that are mission driven. Like one of the companies I serve as a medical advisor right now, it's not a cannabis company, but it's called Myos MD. And they have a product that is, the active ingredient is called Fortitropin. The active ingredient is a raw fertilized egg yolk product. And so it's really incredible for, they've done a lot of clinical studies, and it's been shown that it's really great for patients who are not exercising. They actually see an increase in muscle protein synthesis. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I really resonate with companies that are looking to back up their products with clinical research, regardless if it's cannabis or not, and also just how they're thinking about positioning their product to help patients. It's just so important.
Okay, and I'm so glad you get that information out to us, because I wanted to ask you a question when it comes to appetite suppression. If you're using an Ozempic or a GLP-1, and you're using cannabis products, which can sometimes cause, you know, appetite, right? So can they go hand in hand? If you're using one, say for instance, for mental health reasons, and then you're using another product for weight loss.
Wow, what an interesting question. Yeah, I actually, no one's ever asked me that before, and I think that's a really interesting proposal. Yeah. Of like, could we potentially use them together? And if so, what kind of cannabis product would it be? Because, you know, some, yes, do stimulate appetite, especially if they're like THC dominant, for example, but some can also potentially, you know, suppress appetite, like a CBD dominant product. So very interesting question. So I always have to revert back to the research. And right now I haven't seen any studies that have been yet to be published. I bet you that there will be in the next year, maybe even before that. But I really love that idea of thinking about, you know, and especially as an integrative pharmacist, I'm always thinking about how can we put some of these modalities together? So thinking about a GLP-1 for the right patient with the potential, like, you know, herbal supplement product with a cannabis product, like thinking about how all of these can work together is a really, really great perspective. I would love to come back after maybe like 6 to 12 months and see what's been published so that I can give you a more concrete answer, but I think it's a great idea.
And then I've been hearing a lot about some of these other drugs, and like you said, there's generic versions of Ozempic. What's the biggest difference between Ozempic and Wegovy that you can explain in layman's terms?
Yes, definitely. So another great question. So Ozempic and Wegovy are the same active ingredient, which is why I think it's a little bit complicated sometimes to think about both of them. So they are the same active ingredient, which is semaglutide. But the difference is that they are two different branded products because Ozempic is FDA approved for people who have type 2 diabetes, whereas Wegovy is FDA approved for people who are looking to, you know, manage their weight. Again, for both of these medications, not to be confusing, but for both of these medications, you do need to have that BMI of 27 plus another condition or 30 plus another condition. So thinking about, you know, are you medically overweight or obese to fit both of these, you know, drugs and their FDA approvals. But they both are the same active ingredient. They are FDA approved, however, for two different groups of people. So Ozempic being type 2 diabetes and Wegovy being for weight management and weight loss.
And what are your thoughts when it comes to people using Ozempic when they've had an injury? Is that something that people can do? Say, for instance, they're recuperating from an injury and maybe they've gained some stiffness and they want to get some more energy, be able to suppress their appetite because they're not burning as much calories. So is that something that Ozempic could be used for, or have that in mind? Because I know a lot of doctors, a lot of studies show that when you do move and you exercise, and you're everything's more generative, and there's situations where you can actually heal better, faster, when you're getting, you know, more activity. But how would that work? Would that be conducive to someone that's having some arthritis or some sort of like stiffness in their legs or some sort of, I guess, hip injuries, things like that?
Ooh, another good question. Yeah, I think it could potentially be helpful, but if we just stick to, you know, the way it's been FDA approved, it technically hasn't been improved for, you know, patients that are going through or like recovering from an injury, for example. That doesn't mean it couldn't be used for it. I think it would actually just come down to the clinical discretion of the healthcare provider who's writing the prescription, if they think that this is something that could be helpful for their patient or not.
And then what are some of the other supplements that they can sell, say, for instance, at a local drugstore or a health store, similar type to like a GNC? Like, how would that work? Are there supplements that you feel that are comparable to the results of an example or Wegovy? Like, I don't know if you recall some years back, there was a Rip Fuel, there was a Hydroxycut, there were so many different appetite suppressants and guarana extracts and things like that. Are there any other supplements that are comparable to those, since these prescriptions and since some of these do require prescriptions for these medications? Are there any other supplements that can give you the same kind of results?
Oh my gosh, so many good questions. So yes, I mean, there are a lot of medication, or rather, sorry, let's back up. There are a lot of supplement products out there that are saying that they can be used instead of a GLP-1. Some of the products that even have GLP-1 in the title, even though they're not prescription medications, but they are in fact supplements. So far, we do not have the data to support that these products work, just as well, if not, better than GLP-1 prescription medication. So if a supplement sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true is generally my rule of thumb. So that's part of it is like, it seems too good to be true. It probably isn't. The other side of that is if we don't have the data, especially a lot of these newer supplements that have just come out of nowhere seemingly, that are either called GLP-1 or said they work as well as GLP-1s. Where's the data to really support that they do, actually function like that? I think a lot of it's theoretical. A lot of people are saying, oh, it could, or maybe they have some anecdotal evidence from people using the product, but I can't definitively say that there are any other supplements out there that work as well or better than a GLP-1 prescription right now.
And have you ever, or do you plan on in the future using any of these GLP-1s yourself?
I do not because I currently do not fit into either of the patient populations that we talked about. So having a BMI of 27 or 30 and above, and being in that category. And that's like a measurement that you could get when you go to your healthcare provider. They'll take your weight and they'll give you your BMI or your body mass index. And so because I don't fit into those two patient, populations for which the drugs are FDA approved, I will not be taking them, and I do not suggest anyone else who, has a BMI of lower than 27 takes them either.
Or do you have any thoughts that you wish to express about some of the celebrities that are taking these I guess medications rather, and possibly what can you for you know what might the future hold, foreseeable future hold for these individuals that are taking these drugs? Do you know?
That's a great question. Currently, because these drugs are relatively new, in the last like 10 years or so, we don't have a lot of long-term data on what these drugs are going to, do to anyone taking it. And so I'm a little concerned with like, there are so many celebrities, don't need to name them on the podcast, but there are a lot of celebrities that have, either denied taking it or said, yes, they're taking it. But what we don't know is what that's going to do to their health long term. And, that goes back to some of the red flags that I talked about with, the stomach issues, the muscle loss. And if people are choosing to take these GLP-1s, what I think is really important is the GLP-1 is not the magic bullet. You're not just going to take it and then all of a sudden all your issues are going to be solved. Instead, you have to think about a GLP-1 drug as a part of a regimen, where you're thinking about nutrition and high protein, high fiber meals. You're thinking about what sorts of movement you're doing in the day. I don't care if that's walking plus a little bit of resistance training. Like, how are you putting it all together? And then I know we lead very busy lives, so to be able to eat healthy and move all the time is a lot to ask. So I always recommend some supplements if people are taking GLP-1s. I recommend omega-3 fatty acids and that other company, MyoSMD, or the Fortitropin product, that I think are great. If you are taking GLP-1s and you're looking to support your muscle health and just overall long-term health.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of articles and research about how people who take an Ozempic, they should definitely work out in the gym because they do lose muscles. And yeah, is there anything else that we didn't discuss today that you wish us to speak about?
No, that's all. It's just if people are interested in taking this medication, please talk to your healthcare provider and figure out, is this the right fit for you? You might have friends taking it, you might see celebrities taking it. But just taking the medication is really not the answer. And unfortunately, this medication is just not the right fit for everyone. And so if the right people are taking it and if it's really helping them with their weight loss goals, then I'm so happy for them. I just think that we really need to assess, is it right for every single person? And if people are going to take it, how is it going to be part of like this entire, lifestyle change of the GLP-1 plus nutrition plus some of the supplements and movement I mentioned?
Awesome. Well, thank you, Swavi, for this amazing information. This is such a hot topic and everybody's wants to know as much as they can about the GLP-1s. So thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And if you'd like to learn more about, some of the things I talked about today, the best place to check me out would either be on LinkedIn or on Instagram. You can just search my name. And then also on myosmd.com. So that's myosmd.com, where I host educational webinars about health, longevity, and improving our muscle wellness.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, you too. All right. Happy holidays. Bye bye.
You too. Bye.